I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Now boldly declare, say, I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. How many are just in expectation for God to do some brand new things in your life? Like, I mean, you got your mind made up. You got your heart fixed that no matter what has come, that no matter what has gone, that no matter what the devil tried to do, that God has turned that thing around in your favor. He's taken what's bad and made it good, and he's going to cause some brand new things to come in your life. Are you ready for some brand new things? Isaiah 43 and 18 says, forget the former things. Everybody say, what's in the past is in the past. So he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Now, I love that part now, because anytime I think about the word now, faith is always in the now. Faith is always present tense. Faith is never past tense, and it's not future tense. It's always in the now. The Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So he says now it springs up. So when we begin to teach this lesson today, we are believing that right now God is doing some things in our lives, that right now God is opening some doors, that right now God is making some ways, that right now that there's some things that are happening in the spirit realm that are going to manifest in the natural, and it's only a matter of time till I see God do some amazing things in my life. So he says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? He said, don't you understand what I'm doing? He says, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in wastelands. And so he says, in dry and barren places, I'm going to cause you to be fruitful. In places that most people wouldn't prosper, I'm going to cause you to prosper. And so I believe that God takes what the devil means for bad, and he turns that thing around for our good. You know, even at some of the devastation that we've seen lately and those kind of things, look at the unity that has come together out of so much devastation. Look at how everybody has just forgot about this and forgot about that and just decided to come together, you know, as one. And I think that the key is learning to trust God no matter what. I mean, that is the thing. You have got to learn how to trust God no matter what the situation is, no matter what the trouble is, no matter what the trial is. And you can never forget, even though it took you by surprise, it didn't take God by surprise. And God already knows what he's going to do in your situation. God already knows what he's going to do in your life. As a matter of fact, you don't even realize it. But right now, God is lining some things up for you. And he's raising up some people right now to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you prosper. But you've got to believe. You've got to receive that thing. It's one thing for the preacher to say it, but you've got to say, Father, I thank you. You're raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now. Amen. So David makes a statement in Psalms 56 and 11, and he was to the point where he trusted God no matter what the situation was. And I think that's the key. You've got it. You can never stop trusting God. No matter what happens, you can never stop trusting God. Job lost everything, and his friends told him, man, you ought to just curse God and die. Job said, oh, no. You got to understand that when bad things happen, it's not God's fault. It's the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He decided, no, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to trust God no matter what. And because he trusted God no matter what, God gave him, what, double of everything that he lost, right? And so David was in a situation like this where people were trying to kill him, and David hadn't really done anything wrong. And he got to the point where, you know, because after a while, you got to get to the point where you can't worry about the devil. You can't worry about his antics, and you can't worry about this, and you can't worry about that, and you can't worry about what people say. You know, after a while, you just have to have, and please understand what I'm saying, that you have to preface this in the right way. You have to make sure you preface this in the right situation, but you almost have to have a don't care attitude when it comes to certain things. Like, I don't care what the devil's saying. I don't care what people are saying. I don't care what the lies are out there. I don't care who's trying to come against me. I don't care who's trying to attack me. The writer says, in God have I put my trust. He says, and I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. So David had made a calculated choice that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, he says, I will not be afraid. So he chose, I'm just not going to get in fear. He just chose, I'm not going to get depressed. I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm at my lowest point of disparity and I don't know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do because God is still on the throne. Jesus is still at the right hand of the throne of the Father interceding for me. And as long as he's doing that, I don't have a problem he can't solve. I don't have a situation he can't fix. I don't have a sickness that he's not already healed. He's all that I need him to be. Does anybody say he's all that I need him to be? He's all that I need him to be. And so you have to make sure that you understand that. See what the enemy knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. And that's why the writer says you can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. The enemy already knows he's powerless over you. He just doesn't know if you realize it or not. You got it? So he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. He tries to wear you out with negative thoughts. The fiery darts of the wicked one, those are just mental thoughts that he'll try to attack you and tell you you're not going to rebound. You're not going to make it. It's not going to be better. How many know that all those are lies? You got it? So he tries to attack you with those things, but you can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. His whole goal is to try to move you from a place of faith to a place of fear, because if he knows, he knows that if he can get you in fear, you'll start backing up. You got it? You know, but the writer says that we walk by and not by. See, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And so you cannot allow fear to come into your life, because fear brings torment. You got it? Fear, when you're in fear, you begin to start appraising the possibility of losing when you haven't lost. When you get in fear, you start, you know, start confessing what other people are saying instead of confessing what the Word of God is saying. And how many know in tough times, forget tough times, all the time, you always have to say what the Word says, because if you keep saying what the Word says and keep saying what the Word says, you're going to see the Word manifest in your life. So I think the key is I've got to learn how to trust God no matter what. So the writer says, in God have I put my trust. Not in a system. We thank God for systems. You got it? Not in the government. We thank God for the government. He says, but in God have I put my trust, and I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. And so I really believe with all my heart that God wants to do some new things in your life. I believe that God wants to do some new things in you, through you, and for you. You got it? And you got to start believing God. He's doing some new things in me. He's doing some new things through me. He's doing some new things for me. But it's only going to happen to the degree that you release faith and you start declaring new things every day you wake up. How many know that the first thing you ought to do is acknowledge God? You got it? This is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I thank you for favor today. I thank you that you're raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me, oh God. Father, I thank you that you're bringing new things into my life. I thank you that this is my season of grace and favor, that this is my season to reap what I've sown. I thank you that you're leaning in my direction and you're working everything out for my good. My whole thing is when you wake up, you better say something. Isn't that right? Yeah, you better command your morning. You got it. And I understand sometimes we don't feel like it. I get it. But you got to put your feelings in your back pocket and let the devil know that I'm back and I'm better than ever. I know I was a little sleepy last night, but I got a good night's sleep and I'm ready and I'm back in the fight, because I know that if I stay in the fight, I'm going to win. I know that if I keep swinging, I'm going to hit something. And so the key is I got to be consistent when it comes to the Word of God. All right. So now there's some things that we must respect if we're going to see new things in our lives. There's some things we must respect. Everybody say we must respect. All right. And I've got some points for you. You know I'm a teacher, so I got to give you points. I love points. All right. Point number one. Everybody say point number one. All right. Point number one is the process of faith. Everybody say the process of faith. All right. So you've got to understand. Watch this now. Everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. That is why the writer says, in patience possess your soul. If you're going to get the gold watch, so to speak, in life, you got it. If you're going, you know, to win in life, how many know that you're probably going to go through some things? Because the writer never told us that once we got saved, we would be eliminated from challenges and trouble. He says, watch this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But he doesn't stop there. He makes a powerful statement that says, but I will deliver you out of them all. So as a believer, I'm going to go through some things, but I have the God of the universe that has made a commitment to me that he's not going to leave me, that he's not going to forsake me, and that he's going to be with me till the end. And so you got to understand, everything about God is a process. And, you know, can I be real honest? Just in the natural, you know, the longer we live, the less we like process. Am I telling the truth? I mean, does anybody remember, you know, when I was a little boy, you got it, we did not have microwave popcorn. My father made popcorn on the stove. Anybody remember those days? We didn't know what a cell phone was. If you need to call somebody, you go to the phone booth. Am I telling you the truth? Yeah, there's just some things, you got it. You know, does anybody remember when either mama or grandmama used to make bread from scratch? Does anybody make, you know, you got it? Nobody makes those kind of things from scratch, you got it? Scratch is obsolete. Scratch has been scratched. You got it? And so we live in this fast-paced society, this Burger King mentality. I want it my way. I want it right away. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? And if people can't get it right away, people get upset. People fall out. Adults throw temper tantrums. Have you ever seen an adult throw a temper? Don't answer that question. Don't look to the neighbor to the left or the right. Just keep looking at me. You got it? You know, but how many know that God is not interested in our temper tantrums, but he's interested in our faith. He's interested in us believing that he is a big God and he can do absolutely anything but fail. And that is why the writer says, in God have I put my trust and I will not be afraid. So in other words, David was saying, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm trusting God. Come hell or high water, I'm trusting God. And so you've got to understand and know how to go through this process of faith. So everything about God is a process, and I must be willing to go through the process. I like to say it this way. When walking by faith, if I'm willing to wait forever, it won't take that long. But I have to be willing to wait forever. Why do you have to be willing to wait forever, Pastor? Because you have to let the devil know that I'm in it for the long haul, that I am going to outlast you. Yes, I was only planning on this going 4 rounds, but if I've got to go 5 rounds, 7 rounds, 10 rounds, or 12 rounds, the fight is not over till I win. I'm going to go through the process, and on the other side of the process is my victory. When quitting is not an option, victory is inevitable. Now look at your neighbor and say, this young man is teaching already this morning. Are you ready for this young man this morning? Did you eat your Wheaties on this morning? All right. So number one was the process of faith. Number two are principles of faith. Now please understand, Pastor's taking you through this because you have to understand when you're in a fight, there's some things you have to understand. There's some things that you have to respect in the Word of God. So we understand the process of faith. And then the next thing we must respect are principles of faith. This is how we live. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. So we live by faith. We don't live by feelings. You got it? We live by faith. You got it? We live by faith and we don't live by feelings. We live by faith. Well, some people don't understand this, but we don't even live by facts. Because faith changes the facts. So it might be a fact that you're in a tough moment right now, but you can get in faith, and faith can change those facts, and God can take you from a tough place to a good place because faith changes the facts. Oh my God, today. Everybody say faith.
Faith
changes the facts. See, your faith will produce what, am I going too fast? Is everybody okay? Because I am excited about this word. You got it? Because I know what the word will do in your life. I understand how to the degree that you will get, you know, that you will get the word in your heart and start working this word, that this word will produce some things. And I'm not making light of anybody's situation. I understand that people are going through this and going through this, but you got to understand, I am your faith coach. I am your cut man. It is the will of God that when you come in here, I give you faith on top of faith on top of faith so you can go out of here and get ready to slap a bear. You understand what I'm saying? I tell people, if you see me in a fight with a bear, help the bear because I'm going to beat him down. So your faith, watch this, will produce what you require, but what you tolerate will not change. And how many of you got to stop putting up with some stuff? You got to stop putting up with the devil talking to you in your ear. From now on, when the devil talks to you, you got to learn how to talk back to him.
Jesus was fasting 40 days and 40 nights and being tempted in the wilderness. And the enemy, if you do this, I'll give you this. And if you do this, I'll give you that. How many know Jesus didn't stay quiet? He came back at him with the word. It is written that man shall have no other gods before thee. It is written. And he just kept saying what the word says, because he understood that if he kept saying what the word says and kept saying what the word says, it would manifest. So your faith will produce what you require, but what you tolerate will not change. All right? Your faith will, watch this, will produce what you require. Not what you admire or not what you desire, but what you require. Let's just use a car. Is it okay if I just use a car? You got it. I mean, people call me carnal anyway, so I might as well use a car, all right? So let's just use a car. You know, let's just say that you see, maybe your friend got a new car. You're like, oh, man, that is a nice car. You got it. I mean, I'd love to have me one of those cars one day. And you just go on about your business. You admired the car. You didn't require the car. Does that make sense? And your faith produces what you require, not what you admire. Right? Maybe you desire the car. I'd love to have me one of these days. You got it. I'd love to have one of these days. I'd love to have one of these days. I'd love to have. It is never going to come to pass until you put your faith on it. Because your faith produces what you require, not what you admire or what you desire. Does that make sense? So there's some things that you require. How many of you all, do I have any travelers in the room? You kind of like to travel and go places, you got it? Whether it's different countries or just different cities or, you know, how many of you all like to stay in nice hotels? I like to stay in nice, okay, I got some people, okay, this is it right here, you got it? I don't know about you, but see, when I stay in a hotel, I require a nice hotel. I require that when I walk in the room that it smells good. I require that the linen is clean and it was freshly changed. You let me walk up in there and it looked like the person last night who checked out had just slept in that bed. What are we going to do? We're going to go right back downstairs. You got somebody say, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm not picking up the phone because I don't want this nasty room. I want me another room. You got it? Because watch this now. Watch this. It's way past desire. I require a better room. So I'm going to go downstairs and take some action, because faith without works is dead being alone. Say, hey, ma'am, you probably didn't realize this, but that room up there is nasty. I need you to give me another room. Then she said, well, I'm going to have to see what I'm going to do. I'm saying, ma'am, please understand. You got it. I am not going back in that room. You got it. Well, sir, I can't promise anything. Well, ma'am, listen, if you can't give me another room, that card I just swiped, you can put my money back on that card, and I'm going to go to, watch this, because your faith produces what you require. And in life, you got to learn how to start requiring some stuff. You got it? You got to start requiring the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that it guards your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And so you got to start requiring stuff. So your faith will produce what you require, but what you tolerate will not change. Are y'all getting blessed? All right, so we said there are things we must respect. Number one, it was the process of faith. Number two, it was principles of faith. Number three, proclamations of faith. Proclamations of faith. I am going to have what I say, so I must watch what I say. You got it? I'm going to have what I say, so I must watch what I say. And I think we have to understand that there's so much power in our words. You got it? The writer says in Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Yes, in the power of the tongue. And they that love it eat the fruit thereof. And so you are, Matthew 12 and 37 says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So your words make you or your words break you, and that's why you got to say the right thing. You got it? And so the key, watch this, here's the key to proclamations of faith. The key to proclamations of faith is I always say what the word of God says. So it doesn't matter what the situation is, I always say what the word of God says. So if the doctor gives you a bad report, I don't walk out of there saying what the doctor says. I got to keep saying what the word of God says. And the word of God says he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to keep saying, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Right? Right? And so I've got to watch what comes out of my mouth, because whatever comes out of my mouth is going to form life and is going to happen in my life. Does that make sense? You got it? And that's why, you know, you shouldn't tell your husband, you make me sick, because you don't want to be sick, do you? That's why you shouldn't say, man, my head is hurting so bad, it's about to bust wide open. You don't want your head to bust wide open. These children are on my last nerve. They about to kill me. You don't want to die, do you? Right? So you got to learn how to, Pastor, you know what I mean. No, I know what you said. Got a member who I love so much. You got it? And I called him one time. And I said, hey, what's up? And I'm not going to say his name. He's in the room. And so anyways, he said, oh, Pastor, I can't call it. I said, what you mean you can't call it? All this faith I'm teaching, you ought to say something. I'm better than ever. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above all and I'm something. How many know you can call it? Yeah, you got to say what the Word of God says. Never allow what you see to determine what you say. Never allow what you see to determine what you say. So, Spirit of God moves upon the face of the dark. You got it? Face of the deep, and it's dark and it's void. And God, watch this now, He didn't allow what He saw to determine what He said. He didn't say, oh my me, because He can't say, oh my God, because He is God. So He didn't say, oh my me. You got it? No, He said, let there be light. And what happened? Light showed up. You got it? And so what happens is in your life, when you see devastation or when you see a challenging moment, you can't allow what you see to determine what you say. You got to have a conviction to only say what the Word of God says. And if you keep saying what the Word of God says and keep saying what the Word of God says, you'll see the Word manifest in your life. All right? All right. Number four. There are protocols of faithfulness. Protocols of faithfulness. The writer teaches us that a faithful man will abound with what? Blessings, right? And so you've got to understand that the key to that. And that is why we must always be faithful. We must be faithful how often? Always. We must always be faithful because it is a faithful man that abounds with blessings. And God blesses faithfulness. God honors faithfulness. You got it? And so, sometimes there will be people that are be faithful and then they'll get in a challenging time and then they'll begin to step back in their faithfulness. How many know that's the wrong time to step back in being faithful? How many know you got to keep being faithful? Because sometimes if it seems like it's getting hard, you got it? You got to realize that's because you're getting close. You got it? The closer you are to the light, the more heat there is. Got it? Now, you don't know it, but these are some powerful light bulbs we have up here. And from where you are right now, you got it, you wouldn't realize that, but if you got on a ladder and you touched that light, what would happen? You get burned, right? Because the closer you are to the light, the more heat there is. And sometimes what we don't realize is when we're in a fight and we're faithful and we're walking by faith and we start getting close, the enemy will launch an all-out attack on you to cause you to start backing up because he knows you're getting close. But it is in those moments you've got to stay faithful. You've got to keep praying. You've got to keep trusting God. You've got to keep coming to church. You've got to keep saying what the Word says. You've got to keep treating people with love and respect. You've got to keep doing it because you're getting close. Look at your neighbor and say, you're closer than you think. You're closer than you think. You are closer than you think. Ooh, all right. So number one, we said process of faith. Number one, we said principles of faith. Number two, we said principles of faith. Number three, proclamations of faith. Number four, protocols of faith. And the last one, number five, possibilities of faith. Mark 9:23 teaches me that if I can just believe, all things are possible to who? Him that believeth. So possibilities for me are not defined in terms of human logic or intellectual reasoning. Possibilities for me are determined by how I can believe. If I can believe, it becomes possible for me. So it doesn't matter if you can't believe what I'm believing for, because the Bible doesn't say I need, watch this, the Bible didn't say I need you to believe what I'm believing for, because watch this, as long as I can believe, it's possible for me. Now we thank God for agreement, and we should get in agreement. But if nobody will agree with you, as long as you agree with the Word, it can come to pass in your life. Does that make sense? All right? And so you've got to understand that all things are possible to those that believe, and that's why you got to keep on believing. And when 3 days go by and you haven't seen it, you got to keep on believing. And when 30 days go by and you haven't seen it, you got to keep on believing. And when 60 days go by and you haven't seen it, you got to keep on believing. You got it. You got to trust him when you can't trace him. You got to trust him when you can't trace him. You got to trust him even when you can't physically see him doing something, because God is always working on your behalf. There's some times that he's commanded some things to happen in the spirit that maybe have not yet manifested in the natural, but just because you haven't seen it in the natural doesn't mean it's not on his way. So you got to trust him when you can't trace him. Oh, man, man. All right, okay. Oh, man. Ooh, where does the time go? Where does the time go? All right. Okay. Now, there's a few things that'll keep you from seeing these new things in your life. Can I give them to you real quick?
Yes.
All right. There's a few things that will keep you from seeing these new things in your life. Number one is internal deficits, and number two is external distractions. Number one is internal deficits, and number two is external distractions. Everybody say internal deficits. And say external distractions. All right, let me break these down for you real quick. When we begin to talk about internal deficits, really talking about the sin factor. Now, most people don't like to talk about sin, but how many know we got to? Okay. Sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you start praying prayers that you should never pray. God, if you just get me out of this situation, I won't ever ask you to do anything for me again. I don't pray prayers like that because I figure I'm going to need him again. You got it? You know, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. You praying a prayer like that, you're going to need him by 11:30. So I ask him to get me out of it, but I'm not going to tell him I won't ever ask you for anything again. I'm going to make another mistake. I'm going to have a dumb moment. Hello, somebody. I know people don't like to talk like that, but that's just what it is. I need him every minute of every second of every hour of every day. I need thee. When I'm asleep, I need him. You got it. He's the air that I breathe. He's the song that I sing. I need him. I need him to be my Alpha and my Omega. I need him to be my beginning and my end and everything in the middle. We all need Jesus. You got it. And so Jeremiah 5 and 25 says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you. You got it. So that's internal deficits, internal deficit, the sin factor. So you got to get that out of your life. And then number two is external distractions. External distractions. Remember when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, and Peter wanted to do it too? And so Peter told Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come on, I'm the man. You understand? You got it. And so he gets out there and he starts walking on water. Y'all remember that? Let me show you how Peter allowed an external distraction to diminish God's power that was sustaining him. He did one thing. He looked at the wind. And when Peter looked at the wind, it caused God's power to sustain him to be diminished, because he took his focus off God and he started putting his focus on other things. And how many know in life we've got to keep our focus on God? You got it. Even in a bad situation, how many know that he is the God of victorious reversals? How many know God can take what was bad and he can turn around for you good? Anybody ever experienced that before? Anybody ever had a sickness and God healed you, or had a child that was in trouble and God delivered them, or maybe God protected your grandbaby, or God did? Anybody ever had God to do anything for them? Yeah, I mean, God opened a door, made a way. Anybody had favor to show up in their lives? Anybody say, had it not been for the Lord that was on my side, there's no telling where I'd be? You got it. Anybody ever had God take your name from the bottom to the top, or maybe some policies, rules, regulations, and laws being changed in reverse? Anybody ever had Jesus just to step right in your situation? And the Bible is full of stories where Jesus stepped right in the situation. Peter began to sink, but he called on Jesus, and Jesus, he stepped in. Lazarus had died, and Mary and Martha had called for Jesus, and Jesus, he stepped right in. The woman with the issue of blood went to Jesus, and Jesus, he stepped right in. Jairus' servant told him, trouble the master no more. Your daughter is dead. Jairus looked at Jesus, and Jesus stepped right in. The Hebrew boys refused to bow down to idols and got thrown in the fiery furnace, but they called on Jesus, and Jesus stepped right in. How many know Jesus will step right in? The 10 lepers met Jesus outside of town and said, we need to be healed. Jesus stepped right in. Blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming to town. He couldn't see, but he could hear. And he heard people say, "Well, he's getting close. I didn't know he was that tall." And blind Bartimaeus, he started talking up, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." They're like, "Man, be quiet, be quiet. We're trying to pay attention to Jesus." You understand what I'm saying? You got it? And he heard him say, "Oh, he's getting closer. He's about to come our way." He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He began to take off his beggar clothes as an act of faith. "I'm not going to need these clothes anymore, because if I can just get close to Jesus, how many know he will step right in?" As long as you have Jesus on the boat, you cannot sink. Did you hear what I said? As long as you have Jesus on the boat, you cannot sink. So I have to have a resolve to work this process. I got to have a resolve to work this process. Oh, man, we got to get out of here, Courtney. It's only a minute left on the clock, all right? Don't look at the clock, because if you look at the clock goes down even far. But we're going to get out of here. We're going to do it, all right? So everybody say, "I must have a resolve. I must have a resolve." Okay, so my resolve is beyond camaraderie encouragement. In other words, if no one encourages me, I know how to encourage my own self. Now, I want people to encourage me, and I need people to encourage me, and I hope God sends somebody my way. But if nobody encourages me, I know how to encourage my own self. The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes you'll be in a moment where there's nobody there, and you got to learn how to just encourage your own self. So it's beyond camaraderie encouragement. It is beyond critics' embellishment. I don't care what anybody's saying. How many know people are always going to talk? Yeah, people are always going to talk. You might as well be victorious while they're talking. You might as well be on top while they're talking. Might as well be living the supernatural life while people are always going to talk. Persecution is only effective to the degree you need acceptance from the one talking. If you don't need acceptance, it don't matter. And you got to believe that right now, everybody say right now, that the momentum of favor is shifting in your life right now. And what you couldn't make happen before, God is about to make happen right now in your life. Put up Amos 9 and 13 and we're going to get up out of here. Amos 9 and 13 say, "Yes, indeed." Everybody say, "Yes, indeed." Yeah, I love, see, a lot of times people like to read the scripture too fast. I like to just take my time and slow. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. It won't be long now. Thing you've been believing for, it won't be long now. The thing you've been declaring, it won't be long now. He said God's decree. So God said it. He says things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. He says, "I'll make everything right again for my people." So anytime I get into a situation that's tough, I tell myself, "It won't be long now." People start acting crazy, I say, "It won't be long now." You start feeling a little bit of pressure, I say, "It won't be long now." So that's why you must never give up. You must never give up. If you stay in the fight, you're going to win. If you keep swinging, you're going to hit something. But you have to have the courage and the conviction to live differently. So today I gave you revelation. Let me explain it. Revelation is an understanding of the Word of God at your level of comprehension that brings courage and conviction to live differently. So you got enough word to go out there this week and live differently. So while people are talking doubt and unbelief, you're saying what the Word says. And they'll look at you and say, "How can you be so strong in the situation you're in?" Because I got a revelation of the Word of God, and it's given me a courage and a conviction to live differently. So even in our toughest moments, God is still there. It's wonderful to know that God is with me in my best moments, but it's far greater revelation to know that He's with me in my toughest moments. And He makes a conviction that He's never going to leave you, that He's never going to forsake you, that He's going to be with you till the end. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Please, nobody move. We'll have a couple.